Wow, what a week. Back-to-back episodes for our lovely listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you all are so special.
So I thought for, you know, we both thought for a minute that everyone stopped liking us because we were checking our stats and it showed that our spooky episode that came out yesterday had zero downloads. And I'm like, it's 3 p.m. It literally came out 12 hours ago. What's wrong?
I think they fixed it.
Yeah, no, we know y'all still like us. We contacted Buzzsprout. They're having issues with their stats, thank God. I'm like, oh my God, what did we do wrong?
They learned the real us.
Yeah, they're like, anniversary episode, a year of these two is enough for me.
And done.
No more. Oh, wait. What is this? I thought that I had my... I'm looking at this document, and I'm like, ooh, what listener stories do I have? Wow, this listener story looks a lot like the murder story I just told, and it's because it's those notes instead of
my actions. I attached them. I attached yours to Trello.
Maria's story. There we go. Okay. Trello. The hell? That was Trello. So weird.
Every time Trello. I hear Trello, I hear of Piccolo. Piccolo from New Girl.
Oh my God, that show is just amazing. I'm probably gonna start rewatching it again. I was just thinking about the other day, and by the other day I mean this morning, about Ferguson's funeral and how he was Jewish. And just like Schmidt just being like, why am I doing this cat's funeral?
But he still did it.
He still did it. What a friend. Winston. So cute. I just really I know that I was Christian, but Ferguson was Jewish. Just cat. Oh, amazing.
I might rewatch that again. Right now I'm working on True Blood.
I've never watched that one.
Really?
Never.
Maria, it's got vampires, it's got werewolves, shapeshifters, maenads.
And I have HBO Max. I could just watch it. I might just pick that up and see how I like it.
Eric Northman makes it worth it.
Men with accents.
Yeah. And Lafayette. Watch it and fall in love with Lafayette.
Okay. I have no idea who that's going to be, but
looking forward to it. He's just the best.
And I am a fan of Anna Paquin, too.
She is... I don't really like her portrayal of Sookie. And I'm sorry if she ever finds this out, but I really like her as a person. I follow her.
Mm-hmm.
And she is actually friends with a friend of me and Graham's through CrossFit.
What?
Yeah. Like they follow each other and they like each other's things.
That's
and
so
comment.
Cool.
It makes me so jealous. See? And
uh-huh.
Years ago, I went to Disneyland. And I was walking and I saw this couple with some kids and it was Anna Paquin and Stephen Moyer. Oh my and she gosh. Smiled at me. And I melted a little bit. It's like,
How good of you to like play it cool.
I did a good job. But yeah, you get to see her have sex with her husband on the show.
What?
She and Stephen Moyer, Bill Compton, that's played by Stephen Moyer, who is her real life husband.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's how they met.
They met on the show. Mm-hmm. I always wonder if like actors who are already together and then they have to do a sex scene.
If they're really having sex?
Maybe, or I mean, they're at least like, man, like it's just like, wow, we get paid to like literally just be partners.
Yep. I actually, when we were watching, was it the first sex scene with them or the second? I asked Graham that very question. I was like, do you think, I mean, we know they're a couple. Do you think they're really having sex? And we just will never know. Because like, on one hand, I'm kind of like, why wouldn't they? But also, but they wouldn't probably because they're being filmed.
I guess it's different now if True Blood were to... Oh my God, I can't. If True Blood were to have been filmed now, like all these shows and movies now have intimacy managers and intimacy coaches, or
yeah, there's a word.
Yeah, it's intimacy. It's always intimacy something, or to make sure that everyone is feeling safe and they talk about the scene and
yeah,
you know, which is awesome.
Yep.
So I wonder how like an intimacy coach would have dealt like that. Like, so, you know, just be you. We're all in the mood, right? You both are in the mood. Perfect. All right. Just, like, do your thing.
Get the light just right.
Yeah.
That's all we ask.
Just, you know, cheat that cheek to the left and we got some gold.
Tits to the sky.
Oh my gosh. I did a boudoir session once and my photographer was literally said that. She's like, tits up. Tits to the sky, honey. And I'm like, this is so uncomfortable. She's like, I know, right? But it looks sexy.
I know, right?
She's awesome. That's so cute. I want her to be my future engagement wedding photographer someday. She's just
amazing.
We've tagged her before. Jess Bowman. Check her out. All right. So welcome to our listener stories episode.
Hi, guys.
Hi. I am Maria.
And I am Laura.
And we are the New Witches. We do this episode once a month, every 13th of the month, and we get to hear from you, lovely listeners, your questions, your creepy true crime, witchy stories. We get to hear from you. It's my favorite time of the month.
Mine too.
Line.
I wasn't sure if you were
line
following it up with something. And when my brain was going to like time of the month, the only thing that comes in my head when I hear that is period.
That's honestly why I got quiet. I'm like, should I rephrase that? But then I'm just like, Laura will take care of it. I'm just going to pipe up.
But I didn't.
Oh, goodness. All right. Yeah. So we have a handful of stories. This will be a shorter episode than usual, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But we have a few stories and I know at least one question.
Yes. And actually, I will say we had four stories. I did two each and then one came in after I did this. So I can do that story and then you can do the question since you posed the question.
Let's do it.
Okay. Do you want me to kick it off?
Yeah, sure.
I'll kick it off. I'll do it. It's going to go to the... Oh. Oh, it's really long.
Should I kick it off then?
No, it's fine.
Because mine looks long too. Or at least the first one is. I don't know.
I knew we each had one long and one short. But like, this is long. It's cool. This is from Brittany. We got this. Heidi gals. Why is that fucking with my brain? Heidi gals.
Wait. Howdy?
Heidi. H-I-D-Y.
Oh, I thought... I thought that was like her greeting.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Is it
Heidi gals?
Do you think they meant howdy gals?
I don't know.
Wait, what's their name?
Brittany.
Oh, okay. So not Heidi.
No. This is Brittany from southeastern Kentucky.
Oh, hello from North California. Northern California. Northwestern California.
Yes.
Literally the opposite.
Let's travel on over to Kentucky, though.
Heidi ho. Oh, maybe that's what she was trying to do. Like, Heidi ho? Gals?
I don't know.
Okay, moving on.
I'm thinking it's just a Kentucky greeting, I think. So, okay.
Let us know. Follow up, Brittany, who is not Heidi.
Brittany Heidi. I absolutely adore your podcast. I'm not quite caught up yet, but give me a few more days. Haha. We will. No problem. I know you like dream stories, so I thought I'd send in two of mine that maybe you would like to chew on for a bit. Yes. I'd love to hear what you think about them. Sorry if they're a little long. No, I know my reaction was, whoa, but that means I like it. Ask my husband.
Oh, good one. Laura. Showing up to work here.
Which I very much feel like I didn't. Okay. Oh, he's right there. He heard me say it.
Is he happy about it?
I don't know. I can't tell. He actually almost always has little earbuds in.
Oh,
listening okay. to stuff. So maybe he didn't. Graham, did you hear me? He's not moving.
Is he alive?
Not. Yeah. Okay, I mean, he's okay, moving, but not like towards me. Okay.
Okay.
Anyway. So, Brittany. I've experimented with lucid dreaming, but have since stopped as best I can. The first time I ever realized I was dreaming and was able to change it was a nightmare featuring the Grudge Woman. Oh, she's so creepy.
Oh God. Oof.
She had stalked me and was about to come in to the cut to black. She's about to come in, and then it cut to black.
Oh, got it.
Black kill. Wait, why am I confusing myself? She had stalked me and was about to come into the cut to black kill when I socked her in the jaw. She was about to do some shit and Brittany took care of it.
Got it.
When it stunned her, I had an epiphany. If I can hurt her, I can win.
This is, yes.
This is lucid dreaming 101. Mm-hmm. Needless to say, the dream changed after that, and I realized I could take control of my dreams when I got too frightened. It was pretty great for a while. No nightmares, no scary thoughts, best sleep I'd had in almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. I'd gotten to where I'd have the realization mid-dream and influence it little by little with what I called rules. This is on the right track. Oh, you want me to go down this hallway with you? Someone I don't trust and it's clearly a trap? Nah. The door is at the end of the hall and it's locked. Miraculously, a new door would appear and someone more trustworthy would appear to steer us away from the scary ending. Wait, we're looking for a hidden entrance through some lockers? Wouldn't it be funny to see the Batman suit in one? Oh, would you look at that? A Batman suit. Yes. Yes, this is lucid dreaming.
Yes.
I got pretty comfortable making the rules on the fly. Knee-jerk reactions, basically. I could never totally wipe a dream and make it what I wanted from the ground up, though. That's okay.
That's, I think, like, expert level lucid dreaming.
This dream started off a bit odd. It was like I was dropped right into the middle of a situation, and I couldn't recall the plot that led me to that point. I was standing outside a door I hadn't seen in over 10 years. It was the door to my parents' room in our old trailer. I was so close to it, I could make out every one of the faux wood rings on the cheap door with great detail. I could see where the gold paint had chipped off the doorknob. I had a ball of anxiety in my guts. This was a nightmare, and I was aware of it. But I couldn't easily tell if the danger was behind me or in front, like I could in other dreams. Mm-hmm. I opened the door and was surprised. The room was set up the same way it had been when we last lived there. The bed was against the right-hand wall just in front of the door, and the light to their private bathroom was on. I could see through the double glass doors that granted them privacy. I could hear the shower and the sounds of someone rummaging around in the bathroom, but was acutely aware that there really wasn't anyone in there. It was for show. The only people in the room were myself, what seemed to be my daughter, who was at the foot of my parents' bed with her head turned away from me, sleeping on her stomach. The last person was what looked to be my father, sleeping on his side of the bed by his closet with his back to me. The ball of anxiety went from a buzzing mess to a cold iron ball. This was the danger. This thing in the bed was trying to fool me into a false sense of security by reminding me of home and my dad. I was being given a task. Get my sleeping daughter out of the room without disturbing the thing laying in bed.
Ooh.
It sighed heavily, and its white t-shirt shifted, and that's when I noticed it. A slit going down its back from the base of its head and through the shirt, like my dad was a cheap children's Halloween costume that you slipped over your own clothes and tied up at the neck.
Oh my god.
Something dark was wiggling under the skin. How it didn't cause a ripple on the outside, I don't know, but it scared the living shit out of me, and I made a rule trying to keep calm. When I flip on the light, everything will freeze. It won't be able to move. So I reached along the wall, feeling for the switch. In real life, there was a single light switch that controlled the single overhead light in my parents' bedroom. Their bedroom had its own set of lights and switches. I felt the cold switch and flipped it, but no light. I risked a glance at the switch and realized a second switch had appeared against my will. Mm. Let me just say right here, this is usually an indication that it is maybe not a lucid dream.
Mm-hmm.
My panic started to rise as I kept repeating my rule. When I flip the switch, the light will come on and the thing can't move. We'll be safe. I reached for the second switch and flipped it, but it was as if my dream was a Bugs Bunny or Scooby-Doo cartoon. Although I felt the first switch against my arm when I flipped the second, the switch I had my hand on replaced the first switch entirely, like a conveyor belt. I was still flipping the first switch, and the second was just a little bit further. I kept flipping switches, hoping and praying my rule would stick. I finally had enough and screamed mentally, "This is it. This is the switch. This is the rule." And when I flipped it, I was relieved to see the light flick on and everything go still, even my daughter's breathing. I knew it wasn't my real daughter, but if the task was to remove the lookalike and I was having this much trouble with changing the dream, I couldn't just leave her. I inched forward and scooped her up, becoming very aware it was just a lifelike doll. The bathroom noises I heard had devolved into insect chittering, and it got louder. It was like nothing I'd ever heard before, almost like cicadas and crickets and some kind of fly buzzing all at once. Inside the noise, like someone translating, I could hear a voice in English.
Oh.
But it wasn't my father's or one that I recognized. It was chuckling, and I could tell where and who it was coming from. I could tell. I turned to look and saw that the thing on the bed twisted around so it was looking at me. It wore my dad's face, but his expression didn't match up to my dad's features. I had seen him smile before, even outright grin when he was being mean on purpose. I'd never seen such an inhuman expression on him before. His smile stretched his lips too far outward, and the skin over his head was stretched thin and tight over his bones.
Ew.
He was propping his head upon his knuckles, and I could tell that the forearm was too thin and too long, pressing deep into the bed. And although it was his eyes looking at me, I could tell there was this inky blackness behind him. "We figured out your little trick," it mocked, giving me that chilling mean smile. "It's not going to work anymore." I felt a cold pit in the middle of my stomach when it looked at me. There was a slit down the middle of my dad's face, and I could see that darkness underneath the way I had on his back. I caught a glimpse of something squirming and moving under the surface, yet it didn't disturb his skin on the outside like a vein showing up. The longer I looked, the more it opened up like a book or double doors opening slowly. I kept the doll close to my chest, even if she wasn't living and real. I didn't feel safe with this thing, having anything that looked so closely related to my daughter. I backed straight out of the room with this thing watching me, chuckling to itself until I was out the door and slammed shut all on its own. I blinked and the scenery changed. I was standing outside a house that was not the trailer or any home I'd ever been in before. It was a one-story house with white panels and a red roof. Roof. I said roof. I never say roof.
Yeah, I was surprised as well.
I'm channeling something here.
getting into character. I don't know. Do people in Kentucky say rough?
Rough.
Rough.
I don't think I can say it the exact same way anymore. It seemed old, like the ones you'd see from the 70s or 80s. It was on a somewhat steep hill with white steps leading down to the street where my car was located. I knew I was supposed to go down and buckle the doll into my daughter's car seat like normal and leave. As I was walking, my husband appeared out of thin air and was carrying on a one-sided conversation I knew I was supposed to care about and pay attention to, but I felt the cold fear returning. I didn't want a chance looking at my husband to see if he too had a slit, or if I looked too close that his features would be hellish like my father's had been. He helped me through the motions of buckling in our daughter, and I refused to more than glance at him, which he took notice of and seemed accepting of. Like I'd learned something I was supposed to know about diving too deep or staring too long at people. He didn't kiss me goodbye or even wish me goodbye, but suddenly there was a group of people I didn't bother to try and guess who they were. They watched silently, oppressively, as I got into the driver's seat and left.
My God.
I knew once I reached the stop sign at the end of the street that the dream would fade. It was like I was on a roller coaster coming to an end, and I didn't want it to continue. I was more than done. I remember waking up and documenting my dream after telling my husband about it, but he told me it was just a nightmare and not to worry about it. I believed him till it happened again. This what? Dream started out a little more normally at first. Your face, you look frightened.
I am. I thought we were done with this. Now we have another one. Oh my God. We have another one.
I remember having my introductory dream with less concrete images and more general feelings and colors. Then I realized I was standing in my home, having just finished some sort of task. I could feel this oppressive weight around me, and something told me I was supposed to stay inside the house and wait for the bad news. I decided to test my luck and made up a reason to leave. I grabbed my keys, my wallet, and made for the door. I don't think I even stopped to lock the door. I told myself I had somewhere important to be, anywhere but here. Yet as I got into the driver's seat and started to put my keys into the ignition, my cousin's wife, a girl I'd known since my childhood, climbed into the passenger seat as if it was planned. She seemed very upset with me for having to drag her along my trip, and I knew I didn't want her to come with me. You weren't even here to begin with, I thought to myself as I watched her buckle herself in and rant on and on about something I couldn't hear. She hadn't been in the house, and there were no vehicles in the yard to show she had been there or just gotten there. She flipped down the visor to check something in the mirror, and that's when I noticed the slit going down the side of her face and onto her neck.
Oh, God.
Going down past the neck of her shirt where I couldn't see anymore. I looked away and tried to push away the fact I'd seen it all together, but I could see one down her front in the windshield, and it kept getting worse, showing the pulsating, squirming mass inside the skin suit. I decided to try and talk her out of the car and ditch her there. If I could get away from here, I'd be a little freer than if she was with me. Don't you have a baby doc appointment today? Does Rick need your help? What is Auntie doing today? She answered each, and her tone got more clipped and angrier with each question. I could almost see her digging herself into the chair so that she wasn't going to go anywhere despite the rules I made or how I tried to convince her otherwise. She then made it very clear we did have somewhere important to go, and we had to follow her instructions to the letter or there were going to be awful consequences. I wasn't allowed to know where exactly we were going. I wasn't allowed to use GPS, and we weren't allowed any stops for literally anything, or we'd be late and thus pay the price. I tried to tell her how hungry I was and tried to talk her into letting me pull over at the local McDonald's for something to eat. My plan was to tuck and roll once I got into the parking lot and try to use the restaurant as a portal to somewhere away from her like I'd done to get away from danger in the past. She gently tried to tell me no. I then told her I was going to fall asleep behind the wheel unless I had some caffeine in some form, be it coffee or soda. She gave me an annoyed look. I tried to use the pregnant lady excuse that she needed to feed both her and the baby because it wasn't healthy to skip meals. She looked at me full in the face and said with a creepily commanding tone, "Don't you remember? You don't have enough money on your card and we're in a hurry. We have to get there on time, so no, no stopping."
Ugh.
I could almost feel the circumstances of the world change with her words. The comfortable amount of dream money I was sure I had vanished. I was suddenly aware of how broke I was, a feeling I was familiar with in the waking world too, and I noticed that the world around us changed as the car sped down the road. There were no restaurants, no gas stations, not even a side of the road to walk on. No places to try and pull away to try and jump out at. The city melted away into a huge forest that couldn't exist in real life. The forest floor was almost like miles away from the road because it was raised in a single lane in one direction. The road twisted and turned, cutting between trees that were gigantic. They had to be thousands of years old to reach such heights and trunk sizes. It was dark because of the huge canopy, but there were patches of sunlight, but it was getting darker the further we went. The darker it got, the more dread I felt. Before long, a huge tunnel appeared like in cartoons, you know, in the side of mountains. My cousin's wife told me I needed to go through the tunnel and we'd be at our destination on the other side. I could feel my chest hurt with fear. I wanted to jump out, but I was too scared of what she could do to keep me inside. Ooh. She could easily see me reach for the door handle or hear me unlock the door while in motion. She wouldn't allow any music to be played either and talked the whole drive, but I ignored what she was saying. I didn't want to be too caught up into it like hypnosis. Could just see her ditching the meat suit and turning into something from the upside down from Stranger Things and devouring me. I didn't want to take a chance on dealing with something like that, so I got my teeth as we entered the tunnel and imagined my seat coming loose from the chair, slipping through the metal body and into the road under it like a ghost. I could tell she was shocked and angry I'd managed to find a way to avoid coming out on the other side of the tunnel and from wherever it was she was trying to take me. And since then, my dreams have either totally been wiped from my mind when I wake up or nonsensical ones with nightmares heavily sprinkled in. Even when I realize I'm dreaming, I don't try to change it. Fighting my knee-jerk reactions and forcing myself to disregard the cues, quests of, oh shit, this is a dream. I also try not to look at anyone too long once I've realized. I've not had a decent night's sleep in, I can't tell you how long.
Wow.
I'm trying your tea recommendations soon to see if that will help, but practicing protecting myself with spells and learning to ground myself properly. If y'all have any other recommendations, I'd be more than happy to give it a shot. Stay witchy, lovelies, BC.
Oh, Brittany. That was wild.
Mm-hmm.
And detailed, first off. Awesome job in just describing all of that. What a journey. Yeah, I think protection spells are a good idea. I know that I'm usually the one that can never stop talking, but girl, she, her, right?
She didn't say.
Okay, well, man, wow, that was just, Brittany, that was, I don't know what to make of that. First off, that is insane. I've had lucid dreaming. I've been able to lucid dream in the past, mm-hmm. but never has there been, like, any inclination that anything was of intelligence like me. Like, mm-hmm. I never had anything fighting back on me trying to take control of my dreams. I mean, other than when I have had dream visitations, but those were all very lovely experiences, so I wasn't going to try to change those. But that's something else.
Yeah, the whole time I was reading that, my brain was trying to figure it out. And because I do lucid dream. I lucid dream fairly frequently. And I have come across other things that seemed intelligent. But that didn't happen till much later when I felt super comfortable in my lucid dreaming. And by that, I mean like not just the ability to change it, but the places I go. And pairing that with what's happening in my life. Like, I know I've talked about it before, like my shadow world mm-hmm. that I go to in my dreams. Mm-hmm. There's a few different places, and there's one that is very dark, very deranged, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. It's a creepy, scary place. And I, on one hand, feel like, you know, this could be that. I feel like I just purred. I had a burp come out while I was talking. I think sometimes, like, if we want to pair that, you know, there's the actual psychology shadow work, and then there's the witchy shadow work. Mm-hmm. They are the same thing, but I do think there is more of a spiritual aspect to shadow work and your inner shadow self. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes that does come out in nightmarish ways. So I think that's a possibility that there's something that's really trying to come through. Because I've had that, not people wearing human costumes, like not in meat that suits. Way, right? But more in like I had one. I was definitely lucid dreaming, and I always know when it's something important coming up because I can't change it. And there was one where I was traveling down the street, and it was like a suburban street, and it had been daytime, but the further I got down, it was getting darker, and the street lights came on, but then it was nighttime. And then as I got down the street, the lights started going out and the houses were all very dark. And I remember looking over to one that had the garage door open, and there was like a little girl just standing there, and she was like a little shadow. Mm-hmm. And then I was on the sidewalk and I looked to my left, and on the driveway was a black garbage bag that somehow I knew was full of body parts, and it was moving. And I couldn't like make it different. I couldn't change it. And that was kind of an indication that like, oh, I have something going on here, and I don't really know that I want to face it right now. And in my dream, I turned around and I started to go back, and I changed things for a while, and it was the sense of something chasing me. And the one thing I did come to realize with my lucid dreaming was if there was anything nightmarish in my lucid dream, I'd never considered it a nightmare. It was more, there's something I needed to take care of. And no amount of lucid dreaming was going to make it go away. And in fact, those things only pop up when I'm lucid dreaming. They don't happen any other time for me. On the flip side, if something is visiting in your dream that you are not able to manipulate, it's interesting that it's a way of trying to shapeshift isn't shapeshifting, and that it's actually taking on the appearance of wearing the skin of somebody you know.
Right. It's almost
that's like, really interesting.
It for me, it felt like that was very intentional.
Right.
Like, you know, I want you to have to like know that this isn't actually the person that you initially right. think it is.
And I don't know what would do that.
I have no idea either. I'm not sure we can provide you many answers other than just like validate that that is quite the experience. And it definitely sounds like something spiritual going on at the very least. I'm mm-hmm. pretty convinced that you have something visiting you, whether it's something that is trying to like maybe teach you a lesson or show you something that you need to know,
Right.
Because it's, or if trying it's, some, to... it's trying to communicate something. And like how she mentioned when she was with her husband and like how she wouldn't really look at her husband directly, and that like the husband was like kind of, you know, had a sense of like, that's right, like, you know, just accept what's happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
Think that things went better when she just accepted what was going on. But it just, the initial, her initial interaction with it, you know, disguising itself as the dad and being like, we've realized the trick that you've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Feels much more sinister than something that would be trying to just try, you know, teach you a lesson or open your eyes about something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, see, I still kind of lean back on maybe there's something inner going on
mm-hmm.
that is wanting to be worked out. And that's why it's coming off in such a creepy way.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to say.
Especially if you're making these rules to gain a sense of control, maybe, you know, you trying to control some sort of aspect within you is actually harming mm-hmm. you. Just like how, you know, it's disguised as somebody in your life, but it's clearly you can see the slits and there's, you know, something going on underneath it. And it's trying mm-hmm. to show you, even though I have this mask, this like costume, mm-hmm. I am still something else underneath here.
Right.
So something to consider for sure.
Yeah.
Wow. But oof, that should be a movie. Like I felt like I was there. It was written so well. Good job. Thank you so much for sending that in.
Yeah.
All right. So the next story I have is from, and forgive me if I mispronounce this. I can't even pronounce regular words regularly. So I'm so sorry, Chiraha. Very unique name. I love it. So Chiraha goes by she, her, hers, and she says, "Hey, witches. Oh, please call me Cher."
You got it, Cher.
You got it. So much easier. "I'm so deep into the broom closet, I can't find my way out. I recently found your podcast last month and just caught up on all your episodes today. I love your podcast and I'm so glad I found y'all. While I listen to y'all at work, I honestly talk and laugh out loud. Don't worry, my coworkers know I'm crazy." That's so cute. I love it. "I'm really excited about writing to y'all and I'll try not to spill my guts out and make this too long. So I wanted to comment on a few points in your episodes. I took notes and you can totally edit these out." Oh my gosh, you took notes?
Oh, I love this.
This is like, I feel like something you would do, Laura.
Great, Cher, we got to know, are you a Virgo?
You and Cher need to go get some coffee sometime, some tea. "I swear we're friends in my head, LOL. Let's start," that's so cute. "Let's start with listener stories number 6. Maria has an entity funk, I apologize. Okay, let me start this sentence over. Because I almost said funking instead of just fucking.
Funking. What in the fucking hell is this?
There's something influencing me trying to, like, you know, censor and make this more, I don't know. God. Okay. "Maria has an entity funk..." "Maria has an entity fucking with her when she is young. I can't remember the age you were when this happened. My question is, what the timeline of your friendship with this girl? We, the audience, obviously don't know much about her or what kind of person she was. Only that she wasn't a person you wanted to keep in your life. Could this be something the girl sent you?" I don't remember this. Wait, what?
Oh, the was this the dream with there was like a woman kind of stalking you?
Oh yeah. Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Yes.
Was she a tall woman? I did this when I said it. Was she tall?
No, not like abnormally tall.
Long dark hair.
Mousy brown hair tied back in a low bun slash ponytail, maybe.
Why am I thinking of a tall woman with long dark hair?
I don't know. That sounds terrifying. okay. All right. I'll keep reading, though. So I'll start again. My question is what the timeline of your friendship with this girl. We, the audience, obviously don't know much about her or what kind of person she was, only that she wasn't a person you wanted to keep in your life. Could this be something the girl sent you, even if it was unknowingly, like what y'all think? Well, what y'all talk about with poltergeists starting out as toxic emotions that can turn into entities of their own. Okay. It's all coming back to me. Sorry. I thought you meant that, like, you thought I was friends with the entity. And I'm like, I am not. This is not, we're not friends. yeah, so this entity, just quick throwback, as she said, funking slash fucking around with me. I was 17, 18 at the time. I remember I was a senior in high school. And all of this shit was like escalating as far as the activity in the house and the dream visitations. Actually, so like, never mind. Yeah, so I have had an experience with an intelligent kind of seeming entity in a dream. I just kind of, I guess, repressed that because it was horrible. She delivered a message to me that said that I would die for this person that I was friends with. And it's actually, it was actually a him. Yeah, so this is what Cher is referring to. So I'll continue reading as Cher. I just found it strange that this thing was telling you your friend would be the death of you. Just a thought. Listener stories number 7, you asked if there was a book series that have the houses like Harry Potter with the elements in it.
Oh, yeah.
The answer is yes. I think there are many, but the one that popped into my head was The Trials of Blackbriar Academy. Ooh. It's not the best written book series, and it's a reverse harem with hot sex scenes. Wiggles eyebrows.
So it's not a, like, young adult novel.
So Harry Potter meets 50 Shades of Grey?
I can get into that.
All right. I listen to a lot of audiobooks and actually read about 80 to 110 books a year. Wow.
That was me as a teenager. I don't know what happened.
And actually read about 80 to 110 books a year. And I thought Gavin's sister reads so many. Like, the other year she read like close to 50. And I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I mean, it's still impressive. But yeah. Cher, 80 to 110, that's very impressive.
Yeah.
She writes in parentheses, this doesn't mean I'm smart. I read a bunch of trashy shit. I love
it. So this is trashy.
All right. So if I come across a better book, I will let you know. Episode 40. Okay, I love how you're just like walking me through. Okay, so I see.
Okay, wait, but you didn't. Did the
I'm going to go back. Yeah, so I'm going to go back now that I see that she's kind of going through different episodes. So yes. Before I forget.
I like this.
You know, looking back now, that person wasn't a good influence on my life. He was very toxic. I will say, often led me astray, and we are no longer friends. We haven't been friends in I think 6 years is the last time I talked to him, had any sort of interaction with him. And I would be surprised if I would literally die for him.
Right.
But I wonder if, as Cher said, like, if he was going to be the death of me, it was like this warning that like a part of me was dying because of his presence in my life. And right. I will say that a part of me did, not to be like too melodramatic, but he influenced me to do things I did not want to do. And I will say that much.
Yeah.
And as soon as it was just one of those things where it's like, you know, they just bring me back in. You know, there's just, as soon as I get out, he just dragged me back in.
Yeah.
So that's my answer to that. And honestly, looking at it as a poltergeist and how poltergeists can manifest themselves out of just toxic or just very like intense energy from people and then become their own entities, it totally could have been me knowing that this person wasn't good for me and trying to warn me.
Mm-hmm.
It took a few years after the fact, but I eventually got it. I eventually learned my lesson. okay. Not that to say that this person was a bad person. I just want to say it, put that out there. Yeah. I doubt they'll ever listen to this, but he is not a bad person. He was just bad for me. And that's
yeah.
it. Okay. So now I'll continue on. All right. So Cher continues to say, episode 43, when y'all talked about the Drake Hotel, when the quote, middle-aged woman in a Persian lamb coat, unquote, shot the socialite. I just want to comment that I don't find this strange at all. Who knows if the woman or her husband had any mob ties or dealings, and I just feel like back in that time period, there was a lot of that going on. In episode 48, oh my god, you're on it. Okay. In episode 48, when y'all talk about love gods and goddesses, and y'all mentioned that there were a lot of them who were goddesses of war too. So it sounds like there were goddesses of passions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really great way to put it. Yeah. When you think about it, when it comes to war, power, politics, hate, and love, people get so passionate and sometimes crazy about all of these things. In episode 56, Laura talks about the craft and how for her having a having a hard time as a kid / teen, it seemed like magic was like a way out, almost that we had hope it was possible.
Mm-hmm.
That hit home with me so hard because I had a horrible childhood and I remember when the craft first came out and being so drawn to it as well. Side note, I totally wanted to be Nancy and Sarah. I totally wanted to be Nancy and Sarah pissed me off because she was too goody-goody, LOL.
I love that.
Lastly, episode 57. I'm from and still live in Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's heavily Republican and I tend to hear that the police are always right around here, eye roll. I hate when they try to demonize the victim of a police crime. They say things like, well, he committed robbery and did insert crime here. That doesn't mean he deserves to die. Robbery equals death sentence now? ? No, just no. Jail, not death. Come on, people. I'm not black. I'm half white and half Hispanic. And I would like to say that even in the Hispanic community, there is racism. Oh, girl, I know. Anyways, mm-hmm. Moving on. I am a 34-year-old accountant who is getting back into witchy shit. I grew up with my mom and grandmother. My grandmother grew up in Pentecostal and somewhat followed as an adult. So my mother followed even less so. My mother often lit candles and prayed to the spirits, which is a very Catholic thing to do.
Yep.
And pretty witchy, if you ask me. Yeah, honestly, like, the Catholics and, like, the Catholics are probably, like, the witchiest of the Christians, I'll say. That and, like, Eastern mm-hmm. Orthodox, too, though.
But it's true, but I also got to say a lot of the stuff that they do kind of carried over from Judaism, which yes. is hella fucking witchy.
Well, it has been appropriated to, like, crazy. Topic for another episode.
Yes.
Or several episodes, maybe. It's a lot to unpack. All right. Cher continues. My grandmother would tell me stories about witches in Mexico and how they would turn themselves into owls. Oh my god, that's like in Bless Me Ultima. That's one of my favorite books. It's about a curandera and she turns herself into an owl.
Ooh.
Yes. Both my mother and grandmother would tell me about people they knew or family members who would get involved with evil witchcraft. They scared the crap out of me when I was little. They also told me about good witchcraft, but would always follow up with something about Bible verses being the best way to handle things. In a way, I feel like they are just spells. Like if you want protection, you say this verse or phrase out loud. Sounds pretty witchy to me. When I was about 10, I started getting into witchcraft. At this time, we moved into a haunted house. I still have crazy dreams about this house to this day. With my stepdad and my one-year-old sister. I had a friend across the street who was about 2 or 3 years older than me, and we looked up witchy shit online. It was dial-up at that time and wasn't the best information. We had no idea what we were doing and decided to try a love spell on some boys we liked. So we did our love with Twizzler. We did our love spell with Twizzlers. Stop laughing. I won't. This is hilarious. And invited the boys to my house because no one was home. I was often left home alone. My friend gave me her Twizzlers to the boy I had a crush on, claiming she forgot about the spell. Sus. Oh, wait. My friend gave her Twizzlers to the boy I had a crush on. Oh, okay. Yeah. Super sus. Girl. So I threw mine away because like hell did I want the ugly boy she had a crush on following me around. Anyways, it turned really bad. They had a really off and on toxic relationship and he was abusing her up until she was about 16.
Aww.
Whoa. Maybe it was the spell, maybe not. But ever since then, I never tried another love spell again. So still at 10 or 11, I was getting into witchcraft. My friend's dad would make her go to church and my parents couldn't care less. So I went with her on Sunday so she wasn't alone. After church, her dad would take us to the mall where we would steal witchcraft books, amongst other things. I don't condone this. I was just really bad. I grew up in a bad area and had a hard life. So I just didn't see anything wrong with what I was doing, nor did I care.
Yeah.
By age 13, I had tarot cards, which these really strange cat people, by the way, and a collection of stolen books. I had multiple paranormal experiences, many strange dreams, and the feeling that I had already dreamt or saw in the past what I was currently doing. Mm-hmm. I get that all the time as well.
Yep.
Like all the time. Like I'll have a dream of something super mundane.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be like Gavin being like, oh, we need more bread in my dream. And then the following day, it's like the exact same setting from the same perspective. And mm-hmm. Gavin will be like, oh, we need more bread. And I'm like, I dreamt this. Okay. So yeah, sorry, back to share. Where did I leave off? Oh, okay. I had multiple paranormal experiences, many strange dreams, and the feeling that I had already dreamt or saw in the past what I was currently doing. When I was 14, I got heavily into drugs and didn't really care about anything anymore. I had two kids by age 21 and was married to an abusive asshole. I'm so sorry. I still managed to dabble a little in tarot, but all my books were gone and the dreams kept happening. My boys and I got away from him and things got better. At 25, yeah, good for you. That's tough. At 25, I met my now husband. My strange cat people tarot cards kept telling me it was going to happen, along with a devastating loss. I had a dream that my boys and I were on a cruise with my grandmother. The waters were bad and rocking the ship, but everyone carried on like nothing was happening. I tried to convince my grandmother to come with us to have some fun, but she was so lethargic and said she would stay in the cabin to take a nap. I went down to check on her because I had the strange feeling of loss and the waters were getting worse. She was asleep on the bed, but I could wake her up. She wasn't dead in the dream, but I just couldn't wake her up and I was panicking to do so. When I woke up, the dream kept replaying and I never forgot it, but I didn't know what it meant. About 6 months later, my grandmother passed away unexpectedly. She was only 64. A few years later, I moved in with my husband. I got rid of my tarot cards and any books I had because I felt ashamed and didn't want him to see them. I have a lot of regret for getting rid of my tarot cards because I had a very strong connection with them, especially after having them for so many years. I've recently bought some new ones and my husband has seen them. He really doesn't care, but I have this strange shame and urge to hide everything from everyone, including him. I don't know what's wrong with me. Hopefully in time, I can overcome this and get out of the damn broom closet. I have no clue what kind of witch I am, but honestly, I don't really care. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. I just want to learn as much as possible from all forms of witchcraft. I hope my story wasn't too long, and I look forward to writing in again. Stay witchy. XOXO. Share. Share. First of all,
share.
Thank you for sharing so much of your life with us.
Yeah.
We know that some of those details aren't easy to share. Share. See what I did there?
Yeah, I saw what you did there.
Didn't even do it on purpose. I just know. Just happened.
I heard it.
I hope we were able to answer your questions regarding the podcast itself and your notes on it.
And I loved having that. I loved someone sending in their notes.
Mm-hmm. And just being like, this one detail, let's follow up with it. I have this thought. Like, we love it. Send it
1,000% share. Are you a Virgo? I just want to know.
Oh, my God. No, but seriously, like, write in and let us know. Because if you are, that's crazy.
Tell us your chart. Maybe that'll help.
Yeah, give us your birth chart. Anyways, I love that you just, like, are totally just not worrying about, what's that word? Shoe holing, toe holing, something like shoe toeing. I'm sorry, English is not English is not my first language, so I'm horrible at idioms. I like have.
If you don't get it right away, my brain's just gonna think of all the things that you're saying than what you mean
in the literal sense. Yeah.
You're not putting yourself in a box.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know what idiom that is. There's something with like toes and a hole or like corner or something. I don't know. But you're not limiting yourself.
Yeah.
Which is great. You're not just writing something off because it doesn't fit under some sort of label that you're chasing.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally okay that you're still in the broom closet. Don't ever feel pressure to come out of it. You will, if the time ever comes, you will know when it's time to come out. And sometimes you just come out of the broom closet for a select, you know, group of people that you feel safe with.
And even then, I feel like it's not just coming out of the broom closet. I think it's, you can come out of it and it's just, you're not having a party at your house. You just are living in your nice little cottage. Does that make sense?
Like, she doesn't have to, shout it from the rooftops if she comes out.
Right. Like, there are some people who are just, they fall in so deep with it that, you know, they'll have, like, a witchy phone case and, like, a sticker on their car. Like, they're just loud and proud. And that's totally valid and fair. But then there are some people who come out of it and they're, you wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just as valid.
Like, I knew Laura for years. I had no idea that she was into witchy shit.
Yeah.
You know?
I came out
real, but neither real were you
quiet,
like
tiptoey.
Yeah, neither were you like, you know, in the broom closet. You just were
I just was. Yeah. But I do also understand that feeling of I don't really associate it with a shame,
but just a fear.
But more of like, I don't know what other people's comfort level is, and it's something I like, and if someone's uncomfortable with it, I just don't want to be in that position of having to explain myself. I just want to do what I want to do.
Yeah. Honestly, you know? I feel the same. So, I mean, especially like when I mentioned that I have a podcast at work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh my God, I want to listen to it. Or like, what is it about? And I'm like, I'm not sure where you're at.
Yeah, I haven't mentioned it just because I don't know.
I only mention it to like my coworkers that I'm close to.
Yeah.
And only within my like actual team of people that I'm like, I feel super safe with.
Yeah.
Do I tell them what it's about? But I also have that like thing where I'm like, I just don't want to deal with that chore of having to like explain yourself, or
and then it,
you know,
I don't care if anyone is offended or doesn't like the topic, but I don't want that to influence the rest of our relationship.
Yeah, so we get it.
Yeah,
we get it.
Yep, totally get it.
And definitely write in again.
Yeah.
Also, I'm very sorry about your grandmother. That's really tough.
Yeah. Grandmas are the best, usually. Yeah. I love my grandmas. Both alive and dead. I've got one in, one out.
Mm. I'm very fortunate to have both my grandmas, but I've lost a grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Losing grandparents isn't easy. And
yeah.
So she's still with you, though.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on to the next one. This one is shorter. And this story comes from Zumi.
Ooh.
Zumi.
Wait, this sounds familiar. Have you written in the past?
Oh, no. She's Australian.
Okay.
It's, here's why. Okay. It's Z-U-M-M-Y.
Hmm, interesting.
That's why I'm thinking Zummy, like tummy.
Zummy, like tummy.
Zummy tummy. That's your new name. Okay, anyway. She says, "Hello, lovely ladies. My name is Jessie, but I go by Zummy online. I'm a new Australian witch. I love the podcast, and I've been listening for a while now." Again, Gavin.
God.
No, I want you. I want you. Thanks for getting my gluten-free bread.
Oh, that's the Costco brand?
Uh-huh.
It's good. It's the good one.
Franz.
Yeah, it's we gotta get more this weekend.
What? It's not Franz?
No, what is it?
Franz.
I said Franz.
Oh my god.
Get out.
The sooner you get out, the sooner I can wrap up, and the sooner we can work out together.
Bye, Laura.
Bye, Gavin.
She says bye.
He's so funny.
He is.
Was I?
Oh, a new Australian witch.
I love the podcast, and I've been listening for a while now. Still currently trying to catch up. Don't worry, y'all, if you haven't caught up yet. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, you'll get there. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go in order either.
Yeah.
I've just started are you cooking? Are you cutting an onion? He 1,000% cannot hear me.
He's got his tunes in his ears.
Got like onion assaulting my face right now. But it's fine. It's good. I like onion. Anyway. I've just started my journey around the start of 2021, but I've always been drawn to witchcraft ever since a young age. I just wanted to share my little story about my first ever full moon experience.
Yay!
Also, please be aware that I'm very new to this, and this is my first ever time doing anything like this, and I would love for any input on what I should or shouldn't have done. I'm going to say you were probably fine.
Yeah.
Verb, sorry.
That happens a lot.
Again, I'm gassy. Ever tell you about the time I had giardia as a kid?
Fun.
Back to the story.
Back to our regularly scheduled program.
My first intention was just to put out some water to make moon water. But as I was filling the bottle and jar, I just sort of decided to gather all my crystals and divination tools I have and take them out into the backyard. I anointed some candles with rosemary for protection and used a sage-scented incense to cast my circle as I meditated and wrote my witch journal about what I was grateful for, and in hopes the full moon would charge and cleanse my water and crystals, and I thank it for its power. I also added in some lines to empower myself. I am strong. I am beautiful. I am powerful. After some meditation, I went through each of my divination items, asking a few questions each and thanking them. Once I was finished, I closed my circle and left my items to charge under the full moon. I can say that I feel enlightened and confident after this experience. I'm grateful that I got to experience such a clear and strong full moon, and I'm so happy with how my experience went. It was definitely magical. Apologies for my crappy writing. Oh, no, it wasn't crappy. I was /am just excited to share with you guys about my experience. Love you guys. Keep up the amazing work.
Wow.
I loved it. That was simple.
All of that is amazing. All of that was amazing. You're amazing. That is exactly, if that's what felt right to you, and that's what all the things that gave your ritual meaning, then it was correct.
Yep.
You know? Amazing. Everything. All of it.
You're doing good. You're on the right thing track.
I'll say, I don't know if she mentioned if she put any crystals into the water, but just a helpful tip, look into what crystals are actually safe to put into water.
Yeah.
Especially if you plan to drink it. But that's all.
Yeah.
That's not even like, you did that wrong. It's just like,
you know. I don't think she did, but that is a good note to say.
Because I know that was something that I saw time and time again when I was getting interested in making moon water is, oh, and then put a crystal in it. Definitely look that up. Like, you cannot put selenite in water because it's very similar to, like, salt. It'll, like, basically dissolve away. It'll erode the stone. And also, like, some other crystals, like, dissolve other, like, chemicals or compounds. And just what's really safe is to stick to the quartzes. Any quartzes are safe in water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all when she wrote.
When in doubt, Google it.
Yep, that's... And that is Laura's motto. Yes. Awesome. Thank you so much for writing in all the way from Australia. You know, I was actually starting to think that when we started covering Sabbats, we should also cover the Sabbats that are happening down under because they're celebrating the opposite.
Right.
So.
We'd have to condense.
Yeah, we would. We would.
Well, which one did we start with? Because I also feel like...
I don't even know. Mabon was the very first one, I think, that we started with. Or Mabon. Mabon.
Yes.
Mabon bonds.
September. So we're kind of already like halfway through the year. So the rest of what we'll do... circles back to what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
So we could do them and then touch on those other ones. Be like, hey, we have an episode on this, but like also you guys are celebrating.
Oh, so true.
You know?
Good point. All right. Good faculty meeting. All right. So this break. Next and break. This next story is from Amanda. I don't see their pronouns, but they say, hey, witches, let me start by saying you are doing an amazing job. I love the local true crime and paranormal stories myself, having been born and raised in the Bay.
Yes. Right.
Some I've never heard before. Okay, so here's my story. I am Native American, a dreamer slash intuitive and eclectic witch. Love that. In that order, she says. They say. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Growing up, ancestor and spirit talk were an everyday thing. I learned to live alongside with spirit. They are here, and as long as they don't mess with us, we don't mess with them. Any negative energies were promptly given the sage treatment and banished from our home by our father. Otherwise, it was normal to hear things, smell things, and for things to fall or go missing. One incident that happened to me was not very spooky, but strange and really kind of funny. I was 15 years old at the time, and as any teen in the 90s will remember, there was a time when talking on the phone meant being attached to the wall by a long cord and having to talk in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yes. And then came the ultimate technology, a cordless phone. Yes. I remember those days too. I could talk for hours to my friends and especially the boyfriend, all in the privacy of my room. Awesome for me, less awesome for my... mom. She quickly grew irritated with me talking until the phone died and being too lazy to get up to put it on the charger for her to use in the morning when she had important phone calls to make. Which, in parentheses, Amanda writes, talking to the aunties and gossiping is very serious business.
I love that.
So this one night, she comes into my room and I'm already on the phone and she tells me, put the phone on the charger tonight, please. Me. Yeah, okay. Mom, I mean it. It better not be dead in the morning. Me. Q in teenage girl attitude. Jeez, Mom, I said okay. Stop. Mom, okay, I mean it. Mom exits room and leaves door slightly open. I throw a pillow to close it all the way. Fast forward a few hours. It's past midnight. Phone is dead. I'm lazy. I roll the phone as close to the door as I could without getting off my bed thinking, Mom should see it there in the morning and at least it's not lost in my covers again. I'm such a good daughter. I roll over and go to sleep. I'm awakened around 6 a.m. The sun is just coming up and I hear my door open. I roll over and with it being bright already, I could barely manage to open my eyes. I see this white figure standing in the doorway, long blonde hair covering her face. Ooh, I hate when it covers her face. She reaches down to where the phone is on the floor, but the way she moves is not normal, like there was no bones in her body. She grabs the phone, leaves the door open, turns, and walks out. I roll over and fall back asleep as if it never happened. When I finally wake up a few hours later, I remember what I saw and brushed it off as another lucid dream until I look over at my door, still slightly open, with the pillow I had thrown to shut it the night before, still in its spot on the floor. It wasn't a dream. I run to my little sister's room where she had a sleepover with a friend, the only blonde in the house, full of Native American women, all with dark features. I pull her covers off to find her wearing all black PJs. It wasn't her. I run to where the phone dock was kept in the kitchen, and the phone is there, fully charged. Starting to freak out, I run to my mom, trying to explain that someone or something put the phone on the charger this morning, and it wasn't me. She couldn't explain what happened, and even though it was fully charged, I admitted to not listening to her, and I was still grounded from using the phone that night. And honestly, I didn't want to. It never happened again, although I could have used her a few other times I was trying to not get caught. Thanks for listening. Wow, okay, that's like creepy. They're like helpful.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
Like, I wonder why she was moving weird. Maybe she was
like fluid. Like she had no bones. That sounds like, very graceful.
Yeah, it sounds almost like angelic the way that they said that, like, it was really bright and she couldn't
like an energy being.
Uh-huh, exactly. Like it was more energetic.
Yeah.
Maybe they just don't know how to move when you have bones in your body.
Or maybe that's just how you move if you're made of pure energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Not wow. Constricted.
All right. Good. That's, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a question.
Oh, I have one more story.
Oh, you have one more story. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It was sent in late last night. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not super long. And then we'll do the question. If that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. This one is from we can always count on her, Jess Morelli. Our friend.
Wait, what?
And she Jess I'm Morelli.
So sorry. Oh, okay, sorry. I heard Jess Marley and I'm like, do we
Marley?
Marley. Yeah. No, of Marley. Course, hi, Jess.
She writes, I love you. I like this a lot. Let's title this one, .. How to avoid being a true crime statistic and ending up on Maria and Laura's podcast.
Words to live by.
My dad told me this first story, so I had to share. My dad was a young intern in San Francisco during the Golden State Killer Reign of Terror. One day, during a water cooler chat with some coworkers, one of my dad's more dim-witted colleagues, my dad's words, not mine, was talking about the Golden State Killer. He then proceeded to mention that he was terrified of this guy sneaking into his house in the middle of the night, so he kept a baseball bat under his bed for protection. She actually wrote, he kept a baseball under his bed. Pretty sure it was baseball bat.
I don't know. So if he has good aim. If he has good aim.
True. He's got a mean curveball. Anyway, my dad, who loves to call people out on their idiocies, said, hey, oh, I should have read ahead. My dad, who loves to call people out on their idiocies, said, hey, Jim, named for, you know, to be anonymous, mm-hmm. Don't you mean baseball bat? Jim said, no, I meant baseball. I keep a baseball under my bed for protection. We laughed at that and it's for real. To which my dad said, so what are you going to do? Lob one at him? Hey, serial killer, do you mind stopping for one sec while I throw a baseball at your head? Jim said, Well, yeah. Stay safe out there, folks. But really, guys, I had to take a break from the true crime for a bit because I wigged myself out. The other day, I was walking my dog, Quinn, and we were, who has a Facebook or an Instagram, by the way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quinn the dog. And we were on a busy street with no room for street parking when suddenly a creepy minivan pulled over a few feet ahead.
Ooh.
This tall, skinny, older guy jumps out of the car and is waiting on the sidewalk.
Ew.
Quinn's fur started to bristle, so I took that as a sign. So I dipped into the church and walked around for a bit thinking he'd go away or he had something else to do. When I come out, he's still there.
Ew.
At this point, Quinn put on her pup brakes and I had to pick her up because she wouldn't walk. I figured I'd give the guy a wide berth, but he, bold as you please, came right up to me.
Ew.
Ma'am, I need to ask you about your dog. Nope, I don't talk to strangers. What kind of dog is she? I kept walking and he goes, I just want to show you something.
Ew.
I stupidly turn around and he's opening up his van door. Oh, hell no. I'm not going to be on the news tonight. He then shouts, I know your dog is a black cur, ma'am. I don't care. I kept speed walking until I found a neighbor. Needless to say, my pit bull German Shepherd mix did not protect me, and I'm not walking around there anytime soon. Love you guys.
Holy shit, Jess. I'm so glad you're okay. That is super creepy. Wait, what did the guy say about the dog? I know your dog is what?
A black cur.
Okay.
I need to look up what that is.
He obviously doesn't know what a black cur... Like, well, Quinn isn't even...
Black mouth cur.
Hold on.
This is...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess it kind of looks like Quinn. Ears aren't as pointy, though.
But, like, I know... I need to talk to you about your dog. Come get my van.
I have a lot of dog magazines in here. You can compare breeds. Wow, I'm so glad you're okay.
Yeah.
First off.
That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you did you maybe like report him or like anything like that or put a post?
Yeah.
That would be good because I know where you live and there have been some like sketchy things going on around here. Not so much with that, but just like men in vehicles being creepy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, totally. Yeah, totally a good point. So, yeah, I would definitely like report it or make some sort of post just so that there's a awareness of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it was, you know, not even if it was recent enough, you know what? Like, definitely like contact the police department and let them know, because if this happens again, they'll know that it's like a repeated, you know, it'll just help. It'll help.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so glad you're okay. And
absolutely.
I'm sorry Quinn wasn't much help. I mean, yeah,
Quinn,
she was able to give you like warning signs that she's like, this is not where we want to be. She just went into the freeze mode that we talked about.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe she figured it out. And then froze because she, mm-hmm. you know, didn't know what else to do.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so now we have the question, right?
Yes.
All right, cool. So we've finished our story portion. We did have a question come in through Instagram on our stories. I wish that I could know how to pronounce their name, but it's Zauren X, like X-A-U-R-E-N-X. I'm going to cut that out just because I don't know. Should I cut it out?
It's Lauren.
Lauren. Okay.
You go to the page. That's what it says.
Okay. I was going to be like, it's right. It's spelled like Lauren, but it's Zauren. Okay. So they wrote in, what's the best experience you've had while being a witch?
Mm.
Which is a tough one. Man, I mean, I can, oh my gosh, that's a really tough one. Like, a really cool experience I had while doing my witchy shit. I'm just going to speak to, I think, a more generalized experience rather than, like, one specific thing that happened in time. I think what's happened for me, the best thing that's happened for me because of witchcraft is the chance to slow down, have more gratitude in my life, and to care for myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the best experience. Feeling so much more connected with my spirituality. It's been a while. Growing up, I was really active in my Catholic parish, and I miss feeling like part of a community, but obviously just a lot more interested in the occult. Can't really talk about that stuff at the Catholic Church. So finding kind of my place as well to be able to have that community too is another really great experience.
Yeah. I don't know that I have one thing. I have moments.
Mm-hmm.
And they're little, it's little things. The connection, it's more the intuitive stuff.
Yeah.
Anytime I make a connection or something comes through, like, it's so stupid. I've had so many of those on TikTok, the videos of, like, intuition check. And, like, I think they're so stupid. But then, like, I'll hang out for a second and I'll be like, yellow. The amount of times that I'm right, it's been a while since I've had one where I'm wrong. And it's kind of just this, I don't know, the feeling every time, even though I'm like, this is so stupid. There's also a part of me that's like, wait, really?
Yeah.
And being able to grow my intuition and those abilities just little by little has been, to me, the best experience, because I really, really want to work towards those being much more developed. And that's a loud plane. And
my bad.
It's fine.
Next to an airport.
Just every little step of that growth is my favorite, because I want to get to a point where I can feel comfortable calling myself psychic or eventually a medium. That's something that I'm actively working on developing. And I know I'm super prone to imposter syndrome, so having any little validation along the way, I love.
That's awesome.
Any connection.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
That's really, really great. I have one, actually. I have another one. When I first started down my path to being more of a green witch, and I started gardening a lot more, I think one of my, it's like a really cute little experience, whatever. I had dreams of meeting my plants, like, as their energies, if that makes sense.
Aww.
Like, getting to know them. It was really cute. So I feel like I have this really personal connection to some of my herbs that I've had for a while. Because they were, you know, with me when I first started gardening. So, just feeling like I know them. All right. That is our episode, y'all. We made
it. That was a good one.
That was a good one. We thought it was going to be super short. We're like recording now. I'm looking. It's like been an hour, 25 minutes. thank you so much for listening. Thank you to everyone who submitted their stories and questions. We appreciate each and every one of you. We love hearing from you. We say that time and time again, but we really do. We love also hearing the feedback too, like what you guys think of our episodes, like the thoughts that come up, like when we talk about certain topics, or if there's something that you can educate us on more. We love that.
Yes.
Absolutely love it. We love listening to new witches on their path, figuring it out, having questions. We're here for you. So Thank you so much. I'm Maria.
I'm Laura.
And you've been listening to The New Witches. If you'd like to submit for a future listeners' stories episode, whether that's a story or a question, there's a few different ways to do that. We do this every 13th of the month. So you got a month. you can go to our website, thenewwitches.com, and go to our contact page. We have a submission form there. You can also email it in directly to thenewwitches@gmail.com. Lastly, you can also call it in. We didn't have any Google voicemails this time, but you can definitely leave a voicemail at our Google Voice number. You have 3 minutes to tell us your story or ask your question. And that number is 707-559-8111. Lastly, if you'd like to follow us on social media, we're at The New Witches everywhere. And if you'd like to support the show, we're on patreon.com/thenewwitches. It's a really great way to help us keep doing the content that y'all apparently love and to keep making this, you know, improving the show for you guys too. So, yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for writing in. Stay witchy.
Keep it creepy.
Bye.
Bye.